us to God. We are exemplifying what He means to us. And I shared a quote from Francis Chan, and I think it's really about the conference that he does every year, but he talked about amazing worship and what makes our worship amazing is the object of our worship. You know, sometimes we, you know, in our natural bodies are not feeling, our very best, and, and it has the ability to, to bleed over into, our conduct at very important times. Now, we are here in a house of worship. We are here to give God glory. So for the next 45 minutes or so, I want you to free yourself. The Word of God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want you to free yourself, because it's going to be in your liberty that you recognize a move of God in your life. Because when you're bound up, when you're hindered, you can't receive from God. And the enemy knows that. So he's trying to use everything that God has created to bring doubt into our situation. But if you're free, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If you're free, you will magnify the name of the Lord Jesus with me. It may be cloudy outside, but I heard Fred Hammond say it like this: with dirt, every seed needs a little rain. So don't you look at it being cloudy outside and say that it's dreary. That's God created. Your favorite person might not be here this morning. Don't you look at it and say, because your favorite person might not be here this morning, that God can't move in your life and in their lives at the very same time. We've been preaching and teaching that we're preparing ourselves to go to a place that we've never gone before. See, some of us, that might be to Atlanta. But I'm expecting God to move mightily. I'm expecting God to do something that He's never done before in my life. So it takes great faith. Now you say, Pastor Robinson, how do I get great faith? Great faith is your willful choice. That if you choose great faith, then you got to begin to walk it out. I'm saying you got to believe God for some things that you know you can't do. You got to believe God for some things that you know there's nobody in your life can do. Because great faith is only, it's only manifested by God. This morning, I really preach. Y'all should have been here. I'm joking. But this morning, I share that where God is taking this ministry will put us in a place where it's going to require something of us. It's not always going to be convenient or expedient to operate in ministry in terms of where God is taking us. But the one thing I don't think I said was that the effort is really going to be worth the reward. That I just don't believe that He's going to require so much and that He's not going to reciprocate and magnify himself inside of what he's doing. Because that's where God gets the glory, right? When something amazing is being done. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you. We praise your name. We glorify you. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves here this morning. Lord God, we don't take you for granted. We don't take anything that you've done in our lives for granted. Lord God, we recognize that it's in you that we live, we move, that we have our being. And Lord God, apart from you, we can't do anything. But Lord God, we recognize that through you, Lord, all things are possible. And Lord God, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations, Lord God, we recognize that you haven't changed your position. Lord God, you know the end from the beginning. So, Lord God, as I proclaim your word, Lord God, allow it, Lord God, to touch the lives of those who have assembled themselves here this morning. Lord God, that they're strengthened, and Lord God, that they understand the favor that's upon their lives as they apply the word of God to their lives. Lord God, we come against the enemy, we give him no place. He has no authority over our lives. Lord God, we know that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we know that Satan, he's as a roaring lion, looking to whom he may devour. But Lord God, we are empowered by your indwelling presence. Lord God, that the enemy has no authority. We come against him right now with the blood. We're coming to give you all the honor and all the glory because you alone are deserving of it. Lord God, allow me to minister the word without compromise, with clarity. It's in your Son, Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord God a hand clap of praise. Give his Son Jesus a hand clap of praise. Give the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost in your lives a hand clap of praise. Give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Before you take your seats, I want to read a few verses of scripture that God has given me to share with you this morning. Since I preached it once, I should be able to do it quicker now, right? So let the Lord use me. The book of Exodus, I came from this morning. And, you know, the wonderful thing about preaching a second service is that if you preach it one time, you really should be able to do it a little bit easier the second time, right? You know, we depend upon the Holy Ghost, to lead us. You know, let's see if I can create some efficiencies. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Exodus with me, the 33rd chapter. The 33rd chapter comes after the 32nd chapter. I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to be facetious. And I say that because I believe what God has shown me, you know, in these first 23 or so verses, verses 12 through 23, that it's a continuation of what occurred in the 32nd chapter. So I'm going to read these verses, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of foundational information that, you know, that will kind of explain what's going on in the 33rd chapter. Amen. I want to start reading at verse 12 in the 33rd chapter. And this is a familiar text. I know that a lot of you are probably very astute when it comes to this, but God gave me something that I'd like to share this morning. Signify by saying amen if you're in Exodus 33 in the 12th verse. Sound like everybody's there. Here we go. Verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion upon who I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in a cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Before you take your seat, say, neighbor, Pastor Robinson wants to know, where are you going? Turn to that other neighbor and say, neighbor, Pastor Robinson wants to know, where are you going? You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. The verse of scripture that I've just shared with you, I believe that they are verses of scripture that are a continuation of what happened in the 32nd chapter. The 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus is also a very familiar text, and it deals with the moment where Moses has left the camp, and he's gone up to the top of Mount Sinai to commune with God, to talk to God. This is the first time where the Ten Commandments are being given to Moses. And, you know, so Moses is up with God, and he's receiving instructions for Israel and how they should conduct themselves and how they should live their lives. In other words, Moses was about God's business. Tell that neighbor that Moses was really about God's business. So as Moses was getting this information, being about God's business, the camp got restless. And when they got restless, the first thing they said was that they wanted another God. They began to ask the question, we don't know what's happened to that man Moses, so we're going to ask Aaron to fashion for us another God that will lead us. So when they went to Aaron and asked Aaron to fashion another God for them, Aaron said, bring me all your earrings. Wasn't that amazing? It just took the earrings. Just imagine all the wealth that was in the camp. Those earrings were part of the wealth that God had even given them when they left Israel, but they wanted another God. Tell that neighbor they wanted another God. So they brought all their earrings, all the men, all the boys, all the girls, all the ladies, they brought their earrings. And Aaron fashioned them a god. The moment that happened, God said to Moses, those stiff-necked people have begun to stray away. Now, God was up to deal with Moses. God's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything that's going on when it happens, and he knew that that was going to happen. So he told Moses, you better get down off this mountain right now. And as they were approaching the camp, Joshua, who was with Moses, said that, I hear the sound, you know, of battle or maybe victory. And Moses said, nah, they're singing. They're having a party. For 40 days, Moses had been up on the mountain with God, getting instructions for Israel's life. But in 40 days, they forgot everything that God had done from the moment he delivered them from Egypt. Keep in mind, we're at a point now in Israel's life and their existence that not only have they been delivered from Egypt, Egypt at the time was a world power, that there was no power in this world greater than Egypt except God. Say, except God. See, I'm trying to get y'all going with me so y'all know where I am when I get back over in the 33rd chapter. So then, they've been delivered from Egypt, and they've been brought out of Egypt. They find themselves in the wilderness, but in the wilderness, there were no provisions. But that's the God that we serve. He wants to put you in a place that seems to be barren, so that he can magnify his glory in terms of the provision that he brings to you. In other words, it could be a dry and arid desert. God can make it an oasis. Israel would soon come to know the feats of God and the authority of God inside of this journey that they were to embark upon. See, they didn't know where they were going.
It's so important that we know where we're going. Israel began to worship this golden idol, a cow that Aaron fashioned. I believe it's in the book of Psalms that says that they exchanged their glory for a cow that ate grass. Wasn't a fair exchange, was it? They gave up everything. Y'all, they had seen manna come from heaven. They had seen the Red Sea parted. They had seen water come from a rock. But they gave it all up. They changed their minds because of some momentary indiscretion, because life seemed to present a challenge. They associated everything that God had done in their lives with the presence of Moses. And I'm not trying to belittle Moses, but how many of you know that it wasn't Moses that brought him out of Egypt? How many of you know that it wasn't Moses that fed a manna for heaven? How many of you know that it wasn't Moses that as a cloud by day led them and as a pillar of fire by night led them through the wilderness? How many of you know that it wasn't Moses?
I got this insight since this morning. Look here. Look. Whatever you think it is in your job, in your lives, be it your jobs, be it your family, whatever you think it is, it ain't none of that. It ain't none of that. As a believer, a spirit-filled believer, you have obligated God to care for you. It's only when you don't acknowledge his presence that you put him in a position that he can't care for you. It was only because Israel decided they wanted another God that God couldn't do for them what he needed to do for them.
But Moses, thank God for someone who understands. So Moses comes down and he says, Aaron, what is this thing that you've done? And Aaron said, it's those evil people that you left here that did it. They told me to fashion them a god. And I told them to bring me their earrings and I fashioned them a god. But it was them people. Kind of sound like Adam in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? So he blamed the people. But Moses, upset at what Aaron had allowed, commanded all who would follow him, follow God, to come to him. And the word of God said that all the Levites came to Moses. And he said, take your swords and you go through the camp. This is what happens when we defy God, when we disobey God. There's consequences. Have you ever, and I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand, this is not testimony time service, but have you ever found your place in the defiance of God soon recognized that there are consequences for you defying God? Maybe you haven't. I have. So God had the Levites go through the camp with their sword. And the word of God says that over 3,000 failed that day in death. It was the consequences. Because they changed their position. God never changed, but they changed their position. So now you find Moses at a place to where Moses realized that God has called him. How many of you know that Moses was kind of a Christ type, right? He was the deliverer of Israel out of Egypt, like Jesus Christ was the deliverer of us out of this world, right? So Moses is kind of a Christ type. So Moses, at this point, he's there. He's there with Israel, or with God, in verse 12, and he says, then Moses said to the Lord, you see, you say, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. You know, for many years when I read that verse, that 12th verse, I always looked at it as Moses kind of fleecing God. Y'all know how the scripture says, I believe that it was, was it Barak that, you know, that fleeced God that said, if you lay down the wool, and you know, Gideon, it was Gideon, okay? So I always looked at Moses kind of fleecing God, but God, the Holy Spirit showed me something different in this, that he really wasn't fleecing God, but he was more about gaining reassurance. what sometimes we need a sign in terms of where we're going and how we're going to get there in order to know that we're headed in the right direction. And if we don't get a sign, it's hard for us to move in a way that we're sure and that we're going in the right direction. And, you know, that even in traveling, you know, when you get in your car and you decide that you're going to drive from Florida to New York or whatever, you know, we become, especially those who are accustomed to that drive, you know, we become accustomed to looking for certain landmarks and it kind of tells us that we're approaching, you know, our destination, and we need a sign. Tell that neighbor that sometimes we just need a sign. I was at work yesterday, and sometimes you need a sign. I was at work yesterday, and we were finishing up a job, been working on about 2 or 3 weeks right now, and I mean final stages, and you know, and they were rolling paint on the wall, they were putting up light fixtures, and you know, it started to look like something, and got to the point to where all the painting was done and the lights were on the wall, and they flipped the switch, and when they flipped the switch, nothing happened. That was a bad thing because, you know, at this point, the space was complete, it was done, and the only way to find, you know, what the problem would be, you know, would be to start tearing down what we had built up. How many know that God ain't gonna let you tear down something he built up? So, electrician, being an astute electrician, you know, he began to think, you know, what could this be? And I saw him walk around. He had a flashlight because it was dark. We had no light. Switch didn't work. And he started to shine the light on the wall. And he walked up to the wall, and it was a little dimple in the wall, less than a quarter inch in diameter. You know, and he said, look at this. And I said, yeah. Now we're looking at imperfections and sheetrock, and you know, and this is a big space. It was literally like searching for a needle in a haystack. Didn't know what caused the space not to have light. So he said, you know, I'm going to get my keyhole saw. I guess we got to cut it out and see if we can find what the problem is. But before he did that, he said, give me my screw gun. And he took the screw gun and it was the head of a screw, and that hadn't been completely covered. And he reversed the screw gun, and he backed the screw out of the wall. He said, can you do me a favor? He said, can you go around back now and flip the breaker again? I've been back there 3 times. I wanted to tell him I'd have been back there 3 times already. So I said, all right. I went back there, and on my way back there, I began to say, Lord God, you know I'm trying to finish this. You know, I don't get my money until I'm finished. You know, and you know, so I'm walking back there, and I'm saying, look, I get back there, and I reach down, and I flip the breaker. I should have known that it was going to stay on this time. That's who I am. That's what God do for me. I went back there and I flipped the breaker, and the breaker came on. Y'all, I walked back around to the front. When I walked in, I told them this morning, not only was the electrician in there, you know, they were in there giving each other high five. And it was you had to see it. It looked like a cartoon. Danny's about 6'4", 6'5", and there was a little Mexican gentleman in there, and he about this tall. He reaching up trying to give Danny a high five, and I walked in. I said, "Ain't God good?" And Danny said, "All the time he is." And y'all, the little Mexican guy, he couldn't speak English. And he said, God is good. Look. You know, it's like we are looking for signs, but you ain't got to look for no sign when you're in the will of God. God will give you a sign. You ain't got to look for it. We waste time looking for the signs. I didn't say this morning, but I had to give the little Mexican guy a ride. We rode for about 15 miles, and he didn't say a word because he couldn't speak no English. But he knew Jesus. He knew how to say God is good. I'm saying God will encourage you like that, when you recognize his presence. You got to see God in every circumstance. You got to see God in every situation. Israel made a mistake. They didn't see God. They thought that it was Moses. The mistake that they made was that they didn't see God. But it's apparent to me that Moses saw God. I've heard it said this way, that if you don't plan to go anywhere, inevitably you're going to end up anywhere. Look, Moses had a plan. When Moses went to God, Moses wasn't fleecing God. Moses said, "You know me by name." Only when you have done something worthy or unworthy, the people really care about your name. You go outside right now and go up to the Quick Trip and, God forbid, pull a pistol and say, "Give me what you got in the register." I bet you they know your name. It won't take long. But when you are a servant of the Most High, and you say, "God, it's in you that I live, it's with you that I live, and it's with you that I die." When you serve God, regardless of the circumstances that you're facing, when you say, "God, it don't matter what I have to endure right now, that as long as you're with me, God, that as long as your will, God, I know that I'm coming out of this thing." God gonna know your name. God depends upon us being unique. He depends upon us being different. Because it's in our uniqueness, it's in our differences that God is able to be glorified inside of our lives. If I'm walking around just like everybody else, if I'm this cookie cutter and there's no distinction in my life, then God can't use me. God wants me to be set apart. He wants me to be a man that he could use under any circumstance in any situation. Israel didn't recognize it, but it wasn't just about them being delivered out of Egypt. God had a plan. God had a plan that would transcend time. 6,000 years later, God knew that William Robinson would be on this face of the earth, and God needed to make a way to bring William Robinson into redemption. But he needed a people. Israel, they were the people. And these jokers trying to compromise my future. But Moses. Moses said, "You know me by name." And he said, "And you have also found," and he said, God said to Moses, "And you also have found grace in my sight." Moses said, "Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way." I told him, some translations say, "Guide me." But Moses said, "Show me your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation of is your people." See, Moses knew that they had compromised themselves in terms of their relationship with God because of their defiance of God. But what Moses didn't understand is that God was God. Even though God said, "Them stiff-necked people," he said, "I'm going to go down there and consume them. I'm going to kill them right now." Moses said, "If you do that, what will the Egyptians say? You done sent me over to Pharaoh talking about let my people go, but now you want to kill them, God?" Moses appealed to God's righteousness. He said, "If you kill them, then the Egyptians will say you brought them out to kill them." Hey, y'all, we can glean something from that. I don't care how jacked up your situation is right now. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you messed up. If God kill you right now, somebody gonna get this. If God take you out right now in your foul disposition, God wants you to come to a place of dependence in him. But see, we got to recognize it. We got to recognize we need God. We need Jesus. When we recognize that we need Jesus, then everything else just becomes a byproduct to possessing my promise. Moses knew that his promise was imminent. That's why Moses said that, and you got to remember, God, that this nation, they're your people. In other words, where you're telling me to go now. At this time, God said, "Okay, you take them into the promised land." But God said, "I can't go with you, because if I go with you along the way, I'll kill them." So God is sending Moses ahead. But Moses needs some reassurance. I told you, I thought Moses was asking for a sign all this time, but God showed me that it wasn't about a sign, because a lot of these statements were rhetorical, and you'll find out pretty soon that Moses was making a lot of rhetorical statements because he knew what God was going to do. God's not a man that he's going to lie. He's not the son of man that he has to repent of. God said it. God got to do it. And Moses knew that when you're astute in the word of God and you know when God makes a promise, God got to keep a promise, you know to get yourself back on course, get in line, and allow the manifested glory of God to fulfill promise in your life. Boy, we need a light. Somebody got to be a light. So verse 14, Moses said, and the scripture says, and he said, my presence will go with you. And this is God talking to Moses. And I will give you rest. In other words, Moses, don't worry about it. Be calm. Know that you're secure. My presence will go with you. Now, I don't know if God was trying to split hairs. God didn't say, I'm going yet. He said, my presence will go with you, Moses. Now we know God transcends time and space. He said, my presence will go with you. So Moses' response is, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't you bring us up from here. In other words, Moses said, I don't want to go no place where you're not going. I only want to be where you are. I only want to be where you are. And I'm saying, if we get that in our spirit right now, everybody, if we make up our minds and say that we only want to be where God is, don't you know that 99.9% of the decisions that we make, because we are in the presence of God, they're going to be consistent with God's will. The closer we are to God, the stronger our relationship are, the more probable our perception of God is going to be strong enough that what we do will be consistent with his will. How you perceive God is how you receive from God. If you perceive him as someone who's absent, if you perceive him as someone who can't speak to your needs regardless of where you are, if you perceive him as someone that's limited in capacity, then how you receive, there will be some limits. So Moses says, I don't want to go any place where you're not going. Verse 16, for how then will they know that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? See, Moses is telling God, look, you say that you're God. Now, the only way you are going to show the world that you're God is through the lives of your people. And he said, if you send us out there and you don't go with us, now God had already told Moses, my presence will go with you. Like God had told some of us that his presence is with us, but because we don't see God moving on our behalf at this moment and that his response is immediate to our needs, we begin to second guess God, where you at? How you perceive God is how you're going to receive from God. So Moses says, the only way everybody going to know that we're your people is if you're with us, right? The only way everybody going to know that the Bible Church of God are God's people is if God is with us. Now, if you see me every day and I'm broke down, y'all, my knee hurting right now, but I'm operating in the strength of God. I don't even know why it's hurting. It's just hurting. I know what it is. It's the devil. We come against him right now. God has been so good to me that I can operate beyond, you know, this momentary inconvenience. But watch this. Verse 17 says, and so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Again, it's important that God know your name. It got to be. He said it twice.
It's important that he knows your name, but you have to give him the right reason to know your name. You got to let God know that you're going to serve him regardless of what transpires in your life, regardless of what's going on, wherever you are right now. You just got to let God know that you ain't going to change your mind. Now watch this. And letting God know, it's not as though you're informing God, but it's really about the assurance to yourself that I'm not going to let this change me. I'm not going to let this take away the promise that God has made regarding me. See, I got to follow God. I can't do it my way. I know it's a Frank Sinatra song, the song I did it my way. Oh, that's good to sing a song. But when you do it your way, you better recognize that you always have some liability, some culpability. When you do it your way, we live in a litigious society. And the last thing you want to do is to take responsibility. You don't believe me? All you have to do is read a contract. What contracts do, they defer the responsibility to somebody else. I'm talking about right now, if I entered an agreement with the owner and I signed a contract with him, the contract is going to, if it's his contract, it's going to basically say I'm responsible for everything. That's why I don't sign the contract. They sign my contract. When you recognize, that God understands the importance of identifying you by name, that's when you begin to make a name for yourself. When we make a name for ourselves, it's not going to be because I robbed the bank, but it's going to be because I served God, right? You make a name for yourself, but watch this. And this is a, and everybody get excited about this, but do you really know what Moses thought? Moses said, and he said, please show me your glory. Look, it wasn't as though Moses had not experienced God. Moses was the same dude that had a staff that turned into a snake and consumed Pharaoh's sorcerer staff. Moses was the same dude that touched the Nile River and it turned into blood. Moses was the same dude that stepped to Pharaoh and said, the great I am said, let my people go. I'm talking about Moses had some experience. Moses had a relationship. Moses knew that God could do anything. But we find Moses says, show me your glory. What did Moses know that we don't know? What Moses understood that you don't understand is that the best is yet to come. That whatever you've gotten thus far based on your relationship with God, you just scratched the surface. Moses knew that he could get some more out of it. Moses, show me your glory. In Scripture, when it talks about glory, it talks about the weightier matters or the substance or the essential nature of a thing. Moses says, show me who you are, God. Y'all think y'all know. Oh, I prayed to God and I had a light bill due it and money came out. You think you know God. You say, oh, I remember when the doctor told me that I had an illness and I went back the next week and I was cured. You think you know God. God don't just heal you. God can heal a whole hospital of people. God don't just take care of your light bill. God take care of 50 million other thousand light bills. See, our perception is only limited to our circumstances and our situation. But I serve a big God who does it big. Moses, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I know what you've already done, God, but I know you can do more. So we can ask God for that kind of stuff. Show me your glory. God, I know what you delivered me out of last year, but God, that ain't the end. You got some more. Then he said, I will, y'all, this blessed me right here. He said, Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. In other words, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy, I will have compassion on whom I would have compassion. He said, Moses, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. Can you imagine that? What if he was a train? It would be never ending. He said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you, Moses. See, he wasn't just talking about that momentary experience, but he was talking about a lifetime. He's going to make all of his goodness. See, some of us right now, it's just okay if he do it right now. All I need is this right now. That ain't my mindset about the God that I serve. I want everything that he has for me, every promise that he's spoken over my life. I don't care what I'm going through right now. I don't care what it looks like right now. If you promise me, I want it, God.
Said, you hold right here, Moses, and all my goodness is going to pass before you. Y'all, I done preached all this to get to this part. Look, he said, all my goodness is going to pass before you because I have compassion on whomever I want to have compassion on me. But now I want to read these verses of scripture, and I need, where are my examples at? Where Michael and where Moses and God at? Moses and God, y'all come up here. But watch this, y'all. I'm going to read these scriptures, and then I'm going to show you something real quick, and I'm going to be finished. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, there he is passing again, passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. Now watch this. We have God, raise your hand. And we have Moses, raise your hand. Moses, I want you to look at God in his face. God, I want you to look at Moses in his face. But Moses, God told you, you can't see my face. So Moses, I got a place for you right here by my side. Ain't that what he said? He said, I got a place for you right here by my side. See, now you ain't looking in my face, Moses. You know what? I got another revelation. Can I? Come here. Come back, Moses. Stand back in front of him. God, I want you to go somewhere. Just go ahead. Move ahead, God. No, don't. God don't zigzag, man. God go through us in front of him. Go. Okay, so there's complications with that. That's why he can't look at him in his face. Some of y'all get it. All right, go back, God. So God says to Moses in verse 21, the Lord said, here is a place by me. So Moses, get by God. And the scripture says, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by. All right, glory, move. While my glory is passing by. Yeah, God. Why my glory? Yeah, put your hand up. The word of God says that he put his hand, say, I'm going to hold my hands. Hold it right there, God. You're moving too fast. I can't talk that quick. Says that while my glory is passing by, that I'll put my hand up. But when I pass by, I'll remove my hand. Remove your hand, God, that you'll behold my backside. Go ahead, God. Moses, because you want to behold his backside, you got to follow him now. See, what God has done, he's created a position in which Moses had no other choice but to follow. See, some of y'all have gotten out there in front of God.
Some of y'all have recognized that you're in the wrong place and wrong position, and you don't know how to get it right. All you got to do is back up. All you got to do is say, God, I apologize. Forgive me, God. And you get in your place of righteous position to where you're following all of that glory. You follow. What Israel didn't recognize was that they followed Moses and not God. That when they understood, and you got to read the rest of the story. Y'all, there's a part of here that when they realize that they made a mistake, the word of God says that Moses set the tabernacle up outside the camp and said every morning when he got ready to go into the tabernacle, said that he would go in, him and Joshua, and that the pillar of cloud would rest at the doorway. But everyone would rise up early in the morning. Because, see, they didn't have the relationship that Moses had. Say that they would stand at their tent doors and they'd watch him go in. And they would stand there until he came out. I am so glad that the God I serve, I ain't got to stand at my tent door. The God that I serve, the God that I serve, he's a very present help. My tabernacle, any place where I want it to be. All I'm saying is that when we recognize the presence of God, when we recognize that it's the presence of God that fulfills the promise of God in our lives, we're going to do everything necessary to get into his presence. I don't care where you go, God. I want to go with you. I don't care where you go, God, where you send me. I want to be like Isaiah. It wasn't until Isaiah came into the understanding of who God was. The word of God says that the temple of God, of the Lord, it filled the temple. And Isaiah at that moment knew that he was a man of unclean lips. And he said, Lord God, I recognize my state. See, when we recognize where we are, if it's not in positional righteousness with God, when we recognize where we are, it's time to change places. But Isaiah said, when they asked the question, who shall we send, right? I'm asking where you're going at. That's where I'm saying. Who shall we send? Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how jacked up life has become. All it takes is for you to change your mind. Change your mind, change your heart, and God's going to take care of the rest. Give God and Moses a hand clap of praise. Hey, y'all, that thing when Michael moved from in front of Deacon Matthews, I thought about that. What if Michael didn't move? What if God tried to walk by? That Moses would have been an obstruction. So God said, here, I got a place by me. Got to put you in position. God's put us in. I believe that God has a place by him for every one of you here. I believe that, and I'm not saying that because I'm preaching. I'm saying that because I understand that God's not a respected person, that he has a place by him for every one of you. But now it becomes your willful act to say, all right, God, show me your glory. And as you pass, I will behold the glory. And you know what? That still ain't all of it. Amen. Still in all of it. That's the God that we serve. Know where you're going. I'm not talking about your immediate destination, but know where you're going in terms of who you're following. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You could follow some places or follow people some places and end up God knows where. But when you follow Jesus, I will assure you that any place that he takes you, it's going to be just the right place, right? Faith, right? Hope, certainty, provision. We rest on those pillars in terms of our relationship with God and where we're going. Faith, hope, provision, certainty. That God's going to do what God said he's going to do. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. We're at a point in our service. There
There might be somebody who don't know where they're going this morning. But there are some people here that will tell you where you're going if you would establish right relationship with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here that has never made that confession of faith, and every believer has to make it, it's that confession that makes you a believer. And we use Romans 10 and 9. It's simple. That if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins, but he was raised up. We don't worship a dead Savior. But he was raised up to the right hand of his Father. You shall be saved. The Word of God says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we get saved, right? Right? I was reading an article the other day, and it said that, you know, you can take all the other religions. You know, you can take the Pharisees, you can take the Buddhas, you can take the Muhammads, you can take all the other religions, and you could actually remove the leader from those religions, and they basically stay the same. In other words, they're unchanged. If you take Muhammad out of the Islamic faith, it's still the Islamic faith. If you take Buddha out of the Buddha faith, it's still Buddhism. If you take the Pharisees out of whatever that one is, they're still Pharisees. But you try to take Jesus out of Christianity. What you got? Everything, every weight is upon Jesus Christ in this faith that we walk in. So that's why I take time with this. If you haven't made the confession of faith, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, everything that makes you a Christian is based upon your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. No man comes unto the Father except through the Son. If there's one that's here with us this morning that would like prayer and understands the power of prayer, prayer gives us the opportunity to not only communicate with God, but it also gives us an opportunity for God to glorify himself through our lives. You know, there might be somebody here right now that knows somebody else that might have a need. That's what an intercessor is. It may not be you this morning that need prayer, but if there's one here that stands in need of prayer, we have some intercessors, some prayer warriors that can stand and touch and agree with you. Word of God says, where two touch and agree, ask anything in his name, it shall be established. If there's anybody that would like prayer or would like to stand on behalf as of an intercessor, on behalf of another, the altar's open for prayer. If there's one that's here with us today, believes that God has said that this church is your church home, and you've been waiting on the right moment, and the day is the time, it's that moment we open the doors to this church.